Welcome to the semi-annual Hong Kong Football Podcast. I'm Jonathan White, and I'm here with, as always, on that rare occasion we get together, with Dr. Tobias Sousa. Toby, how are you doing?
I'm not bad, although I feel a bit embarrassed that it really has been half a year.
Yeah, a lot has happened in the last 6 months. Like half a season of football, a change in the Hong Kong-China representative team's fortunes, all the preparations for the Asian Cup, World Cup qualifying, lots to talk about, but we'll do it briefly. What's been going on?
As you just mentioned, I think we both realized that there is no better occasion for us to force ourselves back behind the microphone because this historic event, the Asian Cup, is upcoming in just a few days from now. I feel we almost forgot that it should have been in China, right? I think it has been normalized now that it is indeed in Qatar, but it would have been quite nice if it would just mean to travel across the border to Shenzhen and watch Hong Kong there again. But it is not. Some of us have to travel to Qatar to watch Hong Kong, which I will do myself for two games, but we will get into that later. Yeah, so for this historic event, Hong Kong at the Asian Cup, for the first time since, I believe, 1958, we have to talk about it. And I think we have to talk about what we can expect from it, what we're excited about, and yeah, what are the chances for the team?
Well, first of all, who are they playing, Toby?
Well, they are in Group C of the extended Asian Cup, which for the first time is playing with 24 teams. So we have a total of six groups. And in the group of Hong Kong are United Arab Emirates, Iran, and Palestine.
So a team that Hong Kong plays semi-regularly and two teams they play less. Obviously, Iran, the strongest team in that group, and also a team that Hong Kong football fans will be very familiar with. What about the other two?
Well, Hong Kong does have some history with UAE as well, already it dates back a while. Obviously, both UAE and Palestine are ranked above Hong Kong and also deemed to be the better sides. Especially, I think UAE and Iran are the two teams that are tipped on going through, definitely, as like the first of the runners-up. But then the question would be if Hong Kong could cause the one or the other upset, or the one or the other surprise. And we can talk about what are the chances for that after all. But as you said, right, Iran is the one team that Hong Kong basically has booked the subscription for. Hong Kong even played them recently at the Asian Games. And this is a bit interesting because Hong Kong pulled off a win against Iran at the Asian Games. Of course, this needs to be taken with a bit of a grain of salt, so to say, because at the Asian Games, the teams are sending under 23 squads. Iran supposedly has not sent their best team as well for that occasion. But nonetheless, that gives a bit of a boost in terms of recent records against Iran. Although when Hong Kong met Iran again recently at the World Cup qualifiers, it was again a one-sided affair for the actual senior team out there. So
business as usual. Well, let's take your pinch of salt and throw it out the window. It was a first win against Iran. I think, you know, play up the positives, put that down as a positive there. And then apart from that, you spoke of upsets. Hong Kong have recently been upsetting a team much closer to home than Iran. One of their friendlies recently was against China.
Yes, this was a very interesting friendly in preparation for the Asian Cup that they played in the Middle East. And both teams agreed to play this game behind closed doors. So all the information that has been coming through were some Instagram posts of players that I think were actually not endorsed. So they kind of broke probably certain agreements doing that. And some other official information like lineup sheets of that game. And then eventually the final result and unconfirmed information about potential goal scorers.
Well, initially, it seemed that Phu Poi Hin had scored both goals in a comeback win. China went a goal up. Hong Kong won 2-1. It seems now that there was an own goal and a goal from him. More interestingly, perhaps, is the number of red cards that China got.
Oh, was it three in total?
I think it was three. by all accounts, the word from the friendly was that it was not friendly in any sense.
Yeah, a very unfriendly friendly.
Yeah, the Chinese players lost their heads. And also, there was a bit of a bench clearing brawl. Well, it's not a brawl. At least everyone got up from the bench to get involved when there was equalisers and red cards and other such incidents. Sounded like it had been a great one to be streaming. Probably would have done really good figures for both teams, but they probably knew best if they decided to play behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame that we will never have a video recording of that historic win. Because it was an official friendly, so the result counts also for official stats. And it was the first win, more or less, right, since May 19, 1985, which is, of course, that historic win of Hong Kong against China, which they also won 2-1 at that time in the World Cup qualifiers, and which caused this huge upset, but also led to certain riots that happened around Workers' Stadium in Beijing at that time. The friendly that was just played happened on January 1st, so probably the perfect start into a new year. At the same time, China really seems to be a bit at the edge, because before Hong Kong, they also lost their friendly against Oman. So things are not looking good for them and also for the coaching staff.
I was just going to say, Chinese football has been lurching from one crisis to another in recent years. But Hong Kong football, if we want to look at the positives, I think it's on the up.
Yeah, and if you actually look at the squad that Jørn Andersen has selected for the tournament, I think we can actually see some crucial changes, not changes that necessarily happened just now, but over the last year, we have seen some new players entering the team, some other players being sorted out. And yeah, I think it takes shape and it's definitely a squad that has some potential. So should we go through it, through that selection?
Sure.
So in goal, we have a very familiar face, of course, veteran Yap Hung Fai. I'm always surprised that he's just 33 years of age. He has been around for such a long time. Let's not forget that he was also in goal for Hong Kong at the East Asia Games in 2009. This is where basically his career really then started to take off. He's still there, and he's joined by Tse Ka Wing from Taipo, who was also the main goalkeeper during the Asian Games, where I think he played brilliantly. And also another young keeper, Ng Wai Him from Southern. Two goalkeepers that have been missing here, Paulo Cesar, who is still injured, goalkeeper for Kichi, and also the other Kichi goalkeeper, Wang Chenpeng, who also didn't make the cut. But I do think it's a fair selection, counting on both the experience of Yap Hung Fai and also appreciating the recent performances of Tse Ka Wing, who definitely also is growing into a very stable goalkeeper as well for the team.
So the defense. A big change has been undertaken by Andersen and his backroom staff. What do you make of the selections?
Yeah, I think for the defense, we see quite a big of an age range happening here. From Chen Shinichi, who is just 21 years old, all the way to He Liu, who is now 37. Notable absentees definitely include Huang Yang, who actually didn't have much playing time this season with Kichi. I also think he's not the fittest as well, maybe dealing with injuries from time to time. And of course, also now 40 years of age. But he was Hong Kong's captain for such a long time, right? So there were still like some considerations if he might be called up for the tournament. Also more or less to have this tournament as a final celebration of his career. But no, that did not happen. Also missing are Leung Nok Hang and Choi Wan Kit. Both of them are injured. They are actually, I think, quite difficult to replace.
Well, difficult to replace. You're right. Hong Kong seem to have opted for bringing Sean Say in all the way from non-league football in England now, playing for Ratcliffe Borough near Manchester, back near his old stomping ground at Manchester City. And he was a late addition to the squad, Toby.
Right. I think he only really joined the team now again in the Middle East. I think for Jørn Andersen, Schotze is a bit of a ideal player that he has in mind, that he needs for the team, being a defensive midfielder, specifically in that role. I think there has been for some time the consideration, what's the best to replace Huang Yang in the team? What's the best option there? And I think Schotze has often been part of that consideration. But because recently he opted to leave Hong Kong and play non-league football, it became a bit difficult, like, to call him up and to include him into the team on a regular basis. But now for the Asian Cup, they actually made it work. I think one other observation that we can make from the defense in general, and I think this is something that we have seen more under Jørn Andersen, is that there are quite a lot of offensive players inside. So quite a lot of actually quite attacking fullbacks. In recent months, we also saw Fernando at the team. He also didn't make the cut. But instead of him, we got some younger fullbacks as well, like Lord Zichun and Yue Qianan. And yeah, I think that also gives us a bit of an idea that the direction of the Hong Kong team is definitely not just defending, but as it was the case under Jørn Andersen, that they definitely try to get the ball forward quickly and look for goal scoring opportunities along the way. So I think this is, in terms of the bigger strategy, I think what we have observed and we can also now see reflected in the squad.
I think that's a fair point you make, that it is overhauled, but the overhaul has been with purpose. That if you've watched Hong Kong play the last few games, they have tried to attack a lot more than it felt in previous incarnations. Certainly, you know, the Miksu Patalainen era, that did not seem to be one that was, you know, marked with a lot of great attacking football. It seemed to be soak it up and try and score one on the break. Admittedly, Hong Kong, in their recent international matches, you know, they played Bhutan, played Myanmar. They have been expected to go and attack in these games, but they've done that. And, you know, they've been attacking from the very back. So hopefully that's something we'll see in the Asian Cup. I know Andersen said around the China game that he wants the team playing quickly up front. He wants them creating chances. And he's been seeing that more. So hopefully a step in the right direction. Onto the midfield, which is what a lot of people like in this modern football.
Yeah, we have, of course, familiar faces like Wong Wai and Philip Chen, who are probably the more creative players in the side. But we also, of course, have the likes of Tan Jun Lok, who since this season has also joined Kitchi. So he's playing again in the Hong Kong Premier League, leaving the Chinese Super League. He also recovered well from his injury. So we actually have missed him for quite a few months. So it's also good to see him back again in the squad. And also again called up was Lam Hin Ting, who actually just made his debut in November for the Hong Kong team, given his recent good performances with Rangers as well in the league. And yeah, I think he very much deserved that spot as well. And the oldest player, and when I say this, I actually find it quite surprising that we don't have so many old players in that squad. I mean, still like there is a higher maybe than usual average age, but compared to, let's say, 5-6 years when we had a lot of players in the squad that were like 37, 38, 39, we actually don't have that many anymore. But one of the older ones, so to say, is still Tu Yingzhi, who was interesting, also one of the players that has been counted on by Jørn Andersen for the last few years. I think there's nothing really to complain about that selection as well.
Yeah, and another interesting point you make, that previously Hong Kong's squad, never mind the team, was very, very reliant on naturalized players. And they hadn't always arrived in Hong Kong in their prime years. So you're waiting all those years for them to get a passport before they can play. And then they were 36, 37, 38. And that seemed to be the way of, you know, a number of managers. It seemed to be a thing that ran through the years. And this, you know, this Asian Cup comes at a time when, you know, by judgment and possibly by luck, by accident and design, that Hong Kong is in a position where they have gone for a much younger squad. Even if, as you say, the average age maybe isn't as young as you might think. But then, you know, when we're baffled by how old Yap Hung Fai is, it's probably difficult for us to tell.
Speaking of young age, then we also come to the forwards. of the Hong Kong team. Michael Udebolusa is not only one of the youngest players in the Hong Kong team, actually the youngest player in the Hong Kong team with 19 years of age, but also among the youngest players at the Asian Cup. So as we already previously mentioned, he currently plays for what I believe is a reserve team of FC Ingolstadt in Germany. And yeah, has been an addition to the Hong Kong team now for already like a couple of times. And given his age, I think also showed very promising performances. Of course, Matthew Orr has also kept his spot, again, much deserved. He also actually played eventually a very good season in China as well, in the China League One, and has also been recognized as one of the best players of the previous season. So well done him. I think he also just transferred as well to another team, if I'm not mistaken. So he's expected actually to join Sichuan Junyu next season as well. Another one that actually gained some attention in the last year, Poon Pui Hin, or Max Poon. He played a great tournament at the Asian Games and also just very recently scored what we believe was at least one goal in the game against China, in the victory over China. So definitely got also a huge confidence boost from it. In the local league, he plays for Kichi, usually as a winger, so has not so much opportunities in front of goal. But for the team, he seems to actually go get more up front and scoring even more goals on a regular basis there. And then we have our three Brazilian-born Hong Kongers. Of course, everyone is familiar with Everton Camargo.
The wonderfully named Everton Camargo.
Yes, exactly. The wonderfully or brilliantly named Everton Camargo was a really impactful addition. Hong Kong has been struggling for such a long time with scoring goals, and having additional strikers up front was always a question of where you find this talent, if not from naturalized players at this very moment. And yeah, so Everton Camargo compensated for some of these weaknesses that many fans, but also media has been complaining about. But it's not just him. Even more recently, two more Brazilian-born Hong Kongers received their Hong Kong passport. This is Walter Jr., who also plays Kitch at the moment, and Stefan Pereira, who I believe is playing for Salvan right now. So with them as well on board, I think it gives Hong Kong a little bit of an unpredictable quality up front, because neither Iran nor the UAE nor Palestine would have much video material to actually be able to analyze this supposedly completely new offensive line for Hong Kong. So yeah, definitely a bit of an advantage for them having these extra players coming in just in time for the Asian Cup.
Yeah, very exciting additions. Another dramatic overhaul. Unrecognizable in some ways, this squad. And hopefully, you know, that sort of fresh start means they can go into the Asian Cup with hope, if not expectation. So what are we hoping for?
Yeah, what are we hoping for? What are you hoping for?
9 points from the group. March on. Qatar won the last one, did they not? Against expectation, certainly pre-tournament predictions. They certainly shot me because I had them in a sweepstake. But there are some big teams there. There's some big name players. I think given Hong Kong's prolonged absence, 1968 is a long time ago. Not even the Hong Kong team has any players left over from then. It has been a long while. So, you know, to some extent, go out and enjoy it. Soak up the experience. With these expanded tournaments, the Asian Cup, World Cup qualifying, there is more chance of Hong Kong, while there still is a Hong Kong football team, to be playing in these tournaments. So, yeah, maybe there is no expectation. Maybe there's only everything's a bonus. But I'd like to see them at least try and stick it to the UAE in the opening game, which is on the 14th of January. Do whatever they want to do against Iran. You know, it's Iran. And then the interesting game, I think certainly in terms of like the most winnable, will be the Palestine game, which is on the 23rd. Which games are you going to, Toby?
Well, I will be in Qatar for the Hong Kong-Iran game. which will be actually played in the Khalifa International Stadium, which is one of the biggest stadiums there. So we'll see how full this is going to be. Then I will also be at the Hong Kong Palestine game. This is actually played at a very small stadium. I think only capacity of 10,000 people. And there we actually expect for it to be a sellout. So tickets in the first few rounds have been going quite quickly. And Qatar is also known to be an ally of Palestine. So maybe it also will draw more local fans to watch these games. One thing that actually is quite interesting is that Qatar decided to price the tickets very, very low. So I think the most expensive tickets for you to buy, Category 1 tickets, I'm not talking about VIP tickets, anything like that, but Category 1 tickets are equivalent of 130 Hong Kong dollars. So I think that's sensible, kind of aiming for a very low price point and trying to get as many people as possible in the stadium, even if you're not too interested in that game. I also have the chance to watch Jordan against South Korea on a day off. In that case, of course, I have to support Jordan, given that this is the name of my neighborhood as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, the Hong Kong connection.
Exactly. This is where the podcast partly is recorded from Jordan, every 6 months, apparently. Yeah, but that all said, like for anyone who cannot make it to Qatar, which unfortunately, I believe, are still many of us, the games will be broadcast on TV, but not on your regular channels. It is not RTHK and it is not Viu TV, but it is Hoy TV, H-O-Y, Hoy TV, channel 77. They actually also have an application that you can download onto your TV box, but also onto your phone. So make sure you do this, register an account, which is for free, and then all the Asian Cup games will be broadcast on Hoy TV. And due to the time difference, the first game, as you already mentioned, right, against UAE is played coming Sunday, January 14th. Local time in Hong Kong is 10:30 p.m. Then the game against Iran is a quite late kickoff in Qatar as well. So in Hong Kong, it will only be at 1:30 a.m. in the morning. So this is in the night from January 19th to January 20th. And then the last game against Palestine, the big game, so to say, hopefully a decider game, on Tuesday, January 23rd at 11 p.m. local Hong Kong time. Now, as we mentioned before, there are six groups in the Asian Cup, which means that also the best four third place teams can go through to the round of 16. So even if Hong Kong is ending up picking up no points in the first two matches, but Palestine is in a similar situation, then the last game could still see Hong Kong going through. So there is a lot to play for. And one thing that is quite interesting is that according to the bookmakers that put out the odds for all the teams at the Asian Cup, Hong Kong is at the very bottom. So Hong Kong has the lowest chances of either winning the title and the lowest chances of making it to the round of 16. I was slightly surprised by it, but I guess like given all the competition, it's a fair assessment. But I think this is also a kind of a great chance because as you already alluded to, I think there's really nothing to lose. And there's not really any pressure for the team in all of these games. And it will be quite interesting to see how Hong Kong is coming to terms with this role and if they could actually use this to their advantage when the other teams are certainly under pressure. Because if you're playing against Hong Kong, you're basically expected then to pick up the 3 points. And hopefully Hong Kong can use this to their advantage. Of course, you also asked before, like, what are our hopes? If it would be my own arrangements, according to wishes, I would Hong Kong want to finish second in the group, and I would want China to finish second in their group. And then the round of 16 matchup would be Hong Kong against China. Wouldn't that be great?
I think everyone could get behind that. Yeah, that would be great. I wonder how they find a way to play it behind closed doors.
There's always a way.
There is media blackout. Hong Kong are technically the lowest ranked by the FIFA rankings of all of the teams at this Asian Cup. They've split behind Indonesia, who were previously lower ranked. Hong Kong are 150th best men's team in world football. Indonesia at 146 now. I think that might be guiding the bookmakers. So it's possibly worth a flutter if you're a betting kind, that at least they'll make the round of 16. I don't know if you should put your house on Hong Kong all out to win. But stranger things have happened.
And stranger things have happened in Qatar. I mean, who would have thought that Morocco would go all the way to the semifinals in the World Cup? And speaking of Morocco, Morocco picked the same hotel as Hong Kong. So Hong Kong is staying in the Windham Doha West Bay. And that was also the team hotel of Morocco at the World Cup. So if this is not a good omen, what is?
Yeah. See, I thought Hong Kong picked the same hotel as Morocco. And they're trying to get it to rub off. But I like the way you phrased that.
Well,
that Hong Kong booked the hotel well before the World Cup. And Morocco just slid in, knowing where the Asian Cup's lowliest ranked team would be. Take the pressure off.
Yeah, probably.
They've had a long time to prepare, though. Hong Kong had a training camp from, what, the middle of December, early December. So the team have been together for a month by the time they kick off their first game. So between that and the nice hotel that Morocco stayed in, perfect preparations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was also planned well in advance. So when they already made the schedule for the Hong Kong Premier League, they already factored in quite a long break of top-tier games. So that was also the reason why throughout Christmas and New Year, we didn't get the usual fix of Senior Shield games and Hong Kong Premier League matchups, but kind of a lot of Sublink Cup games and a newly invented Hong Kong Premier League Cup, which, yeah, a surprise to everyone, which suddenly appeared and allowed a lot of the local clubs to invite other players to the team and fielding even youth players from the under 19 and under 16 sides. With the Hong Kong team, right, being at the Asian Cup, the local league has also gone a little bit into hibernation as well for the time period, which is understandable. But speaking of the local league, of course, right, as you mentioned at the beginning, we haven't really had time to catch up with the league progress so far. But yeah, maybe we can quickly give a roundup about what has happened at the halfway mark we are at, pretty much, right? I think the Hong Kong Premier League has now 8 games played, most teams at least.
Somewhere between 6 and 9.
All right. Well, that's pretty much on brand. But yeah, I think, of course, the biggest news is that the team on top is not Kitchy, but Lee Man, who I think, yeah, have had so far a very promising season, looking great in the games that they have played, also came out as winners in the first matchup with Kitchy. And that will definitely be then the game to watch out for. So the second game in the second half of the season between Kitchy and Lee Man, which of course, not coincidentally, will be played on the last match day as well. Apart from this, I think that also Taipo had a pretty decent season so far. Salvan as well. So yeah, the district teams got a little bit more upwind again after a bit of a bleak season in the previous year. And yeah, for the remaining teams, they are either fighting for a spot in the mid-table or eventually for the non-existing relegation that we believe is still going to be suspended for the foreseeable future. And also one upcoming game I think that, of course, I'm quite excited about, as always, is the only silverware that really matters in Hong Kong, the Senior Shield. And all the Senior Shield games have been played except for the final. And we are going to see Kitchy versus Eastern on February 10th. And this is actually also Lunar New Year. So I think it's at least still, I think, a good practice. If you don't get like a good Senior Shield game on Christmas, now it has become a Lunar New Year Cup. And I hope that it will outshine this other strange game that is going to happen in Hong Kong on February 4th. Have you heard about that?
Is this the arrival of Inter Miami?
It is, exactly.
In a very strange, strange matchup. Inter Miami, made famous by David Beckham and now Lionel Messi, and soon to be Luis Suarez, I believe. Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets. Sort of a classic Barcelona team of the mid-2000s, the 2010s. Reunited in Miami, and they're off to Hong Kong to play in a friendly arranged by Tatler magazine. And it has been advertised with quite eye-watering ticket prices that have apparently all sold out at Hong Kong Stadium.
Let's just say the ticket prices were absolutely insane. I think, didn't it go up like to 5,000-6,000 Hong Kong dollars? I think even for the worst seats, you would like still pay 800-900.
Yeah, the cheapest tickets were the best part of 1,000 Hong Kong dollars. And, you know, while some people might see this as sort of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see Messi playing in Hong Kong, like, it wasn't, because he was already here before. And given that, you know, there's a Paul Scholes against Michael Owen game happening a week or so before, like, these players will come again, or the likes of these players will. It seems a very sort of strange move. I don't really understand it. I don't understand why you pay that money, especially, you know, it's a family. There's a few of you. You're paying the best part of, what, 20,000 Hong Kong dollars to go and watch some MLS players and some former world stars play against some Hong Kong players.
For that money, you could all fly to Qatar and watch Hong Kong against Palestine.
Yeah, well, you'd have a lot of money left over. You could maybe even stay in the same place as the players.
Yeah.
For that money, you could think about going to Miami to see them. Although my understanding there is that the tickets are competitively priced. Since Messi arrived, ticket prices have gone out the window. Dynamic ticket pricing, I think that's what they call it. But anyway.
Yeah, Hokofopo against modern football.
Yeah, senior shield all the way.
Exactly.
And I think that's probably too expensive. Last thing on that Messi game, there is no guarantee that Messi will play. And the line from the organisers is there will be no refunds if that's the case. That makes it seem like a massive gamble. So if you're willing to gamble that kind of money, stick it all on Hong Kong to win the Asian Cup. Right, now we're back on the local football scene. Messi interlude notwithstanding. And also, you know, a minor acknowledgement that Michael Owen, one of the most important Ballon d'Or. Did he win it? No, I only know about his view on films. Anyway, back onto local football. You know, transfer window now. There's been a few moves. We'll look forward to our second half of the season that we'll definitely podcast more in. What's grabbed your attention?
Of course, the one transfer that really caught a lot of attention was the return of Lucas Silva to his former crowns at Taipo, where he also reunites with Lee Chi-Kin, who again took charge of the team of Taipo this season, which I think can be seen in the results. Also, Lee Chi-Kin trying again to bring back some of his former Kin army to Taipo, including Philip Chen, for example. And yeah, I think he's still having success in what he's doing. And having Lucas Silva back could also be another boost for the team in the second half of the season as well. So yeah, for me, that was the most exciting one that involves the Hong Kong Premier League. We also had one Hong Kong player that has signed up for another non-league club in England. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. Very exciting news. And by all accounts, masterminded by Hong Kong's current non-league northwest of England footballer. Ellison Sung has gone to FC United of Manchester, the Rebel Reds fan team started by people who were rather cheesed off when Manchester United were taken over by the Glazers many years ago. And they've cracked on while everyone at Old Trafford is still cheesed off with Glazer ownership. That is a great move.
Yeah, and especially as we know, if you are playing in that division, you are still playing material for the national team whenever there is a big tournament like the Asian Cup.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very much on the radar. We should end on a positive note, and that could be about Hong Kong to do everyone proud in the Asian Cup. Or it could be that HK Under 23, the worst top flight team, as they've been branded by the internet, it's good they're on people's radar, they sort of shifted that tag with a 5-0 win in the Sapling Cup.
Yeah, the Sapling Cup, always good for surprises.
You know, it's probably the premier sports tournament, certainly built around holidays. But yeah, if even they are winning, then, you know, I think there's hope for us all.
There is. There's certainly hope for us all. And still, at the end of the day, a lot of hope for the Hong Kong team at the Asian Cup. Because no matter what happens, even if they come back with 0 points, I'm sure it was still fun.
Yeah, history in the making. So let's await them making history. And if they win it, we'll do a podcast.
Only if they win it. Only if they win it.
Yeah, win or nothing.
But yes, in the meantime, to stay up to date, feel free to follow the Offside Twitter account, where we will also show regular updates about the tournament, and particularly then also during the days when we are on site. Then hopefully we will have a lot to talk about once the Asian Cup tournament has been wrapped up. Enough at least for another podcast.
I'm sure there will be. Well, good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot, Johnny. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, I'll see you next year. But yeah. Safe travels. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hong Kong, that's a place for you.